Hello and welcome to TMSN Weekly Live.
Hi guys, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I didn't put the mask on. Darn.
All right.
Oh well. This is my new Star Lord mask.
Yes, so Guardians of the Galaxy opened this weekend, and as you can see, merchandise is now available as well. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, what do you want to do first?
Well, you have to do your welcome.
Hello, welcome to TMSN Weekly Live, show number 122 for May 30, 2022. I'm Scott.
I'm Michelle.
Thanks. Yeah, 122.
Before we get started, we have a huge announcement for you guys tonight for House of Mouse Expo. We're going to start with that. Before we get to said announcement, please, please, please share this video with your friends because it's a big announcement and we want to make sure a lot of people get to see it. I was actually nervous about doing this live feed a little bit tonight because the announcement is so big.
Yeah, I was the same way.
And it's huge.
It's kind of big in case you didn't get that from.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really, really, really exciting. So share because it's coming. So as you know, last week we announced Lee Ehrenberg from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And Once Upon a Time, he was Grumpy. And of course, Seinfeld too. But tonight. We're so excited. Scott made you a little video. Are you ready to see it? Let's see if they're ready to see it.
Are you ready? I can't watch comments and get the video, so you gotta tell me what they're saying in the comments.
Okay, I know that Andy's ready to see it.
I bet Andy's ready because he's been talking to us all week about it.
Okay, guys.
Are we ready?
It's really big. All right, Scott, hit it.
Partners, it's me, Mickey Mouse.
Hi everyone, I am here with the amazing and talented Brett Island, who you may know from our favorite mouse. He is the voice of Mickey Mouse on Disney Channel and video games and
toys and Disney parks and everywhere.
That's pretty great.
Here, there, and beyond.
And beyond.
The story of Fantasmic is just that. For me, Fantasmic has always been the most quintessential Disney show. The fact that it comes out of nowhere and it's this big, powerful, imaginative world was always so fascinating to me. And it inspired a lot of my dreaming and my creativity, but also my love of Disney and love specifically for Mickey. So I used to play Fantasmic as a kid. My brother and I would put on our own shows, and I started doing voices by impersonating all the characters in the show, and that's actually where I started to figure out that I kind of sounded like Mickey. So I did that for years growing up, and fast forward to a few years ago, they updated the show, and I was asked to voice Mickey in it because they were adding a few more dialogue parts. And at the time, there had been talk to leave Wayne Allwine's performance in for the last line, Some Imagination, because it's such an iconic line, just to pay homage to him, and I completely agreed with that. I actually felt odd going in to re-record the show in the first place, but I did, and when I went to finally see it, I was with my brother, who I used to play Fantasmic with, and we watched it together, and the whole time was kind of fun, you know, just reacting with one another to say, how cool is that? But then the final line came, and Mickey said, some imagination, huh? And it was me, and it was a total surreal, full-circle moment that it's hard to put into words. But my brother turned to me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, did you ever think that when we were kids playing Fantasmic that would be you someday? And it's that has been one of the most impactful moments in my career thus far.
Who's the leader of the front to take for you with me? M-I-C-K-E-Y, M-O-U-S-E.
So that's right. Brett Iwin, the voice of Mickey Mouse since 2009, will be part of the House of Mouse Expo 2023.
Are you excited?
This has been an announcement. We actually talked to Brett about it last year's Expo, and he wasn't able to make it due to scheduling conflicts. So when we had the date, Brett was one of the first people we actually touched base with, and we wanted to make sure it would work with his schedule. and everything, and it worked with us, worked with him, and we were able to get it done. So Brett will be there Saturday and Sunday of the expo to meet everybody who wants to come out and see. Say hi to him. Say hi, Val.
Say hi, Val. So, so Brett is, you know, has become a pretty good friend of mine, and he is really, really nice and really, really funny. And I think that you are actually, no, I know that you are going to enjoy meeting him as far as a panel with Brett, any type of special events we do with Brett. It's all going to be so great. So we just wanted to announce that he's going to be there. He's one of our headliners.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have more information about that as well. But we wanted to let you guys know that, you know, it's the House of Mouse Expo, and we have the mouse himself.
We've been wanting to announce this since day one. And we did just because we wanted to kind of give a little build up to the page, get more people to start following the page, because they did with Lee's announcement. And now we even have more people to make this announcement too. So this one was huge. This is the one we wanted since day one. It's the House of Mouse Expo, and he is the mouse. So this was definitely a dream come true to get him to be one of our guests.
What do you guys think about Brett being one of our headliners? Are you excited? I think you're exciting.
I think they are.
We are thrilled to have him, and we really appreciate him actually being part of this event. Super exciting. Make sure you tell your friends.
Yes, tell everybody.
Tell all your Disney friends that you can go meet Mickey Mouse.
Exactly. And he's also an illustrator. And I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but he's an artist, and he does drawings of Mickey and such, and he will have them at his table.
Yes.
So you can get that.
Actually, you know, when I've seen Brett at expos, he sits at his table where you can meet him, and he doodles Mickey almost the whole time, which is fascinating to see how he's so good. And, you know, he also had that clothing line out last year. Mm-hmm. You know, your Apple Watch, when Mickey does the time, that's Brett.
Yeah.
And the parks on TV. I mean, that's all Brett. And it's amazing. So we're super excited.
Yeah, if you're on the Tomorrowland People Mover, Transit People Mover, he is the one voice when you're coming through Mickey Star Traders. It's
that's
out of this world.
Right.
That's right there. And I think that was one of his first ones. I know it's not the first, but I know that was one of his first he had done when he took over. So we're beyond excited that Brett here, and we couldn't believe that. It was so great that he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it last year, actually,
but it just didn't work out with scheduling, and because Destination D23 was the weekend before our expo, so he was already here for a different event. But now he's gonna be here for ours.
Yep. So in January he will again be there Saturday and Sunday. So the 21st and 22nd of January 2023. That's our second big announcement.
That's it.
And there's more coming, so stay tuned. We have more announcements coming. And, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be fun for everybody who comes out to the expo. We will have more information this week regarding the VIP package. We would have had it last week, but the gentleman at the Embassy Suites who's helping us put this all together, he was off last week because his son was graduating, so he had the week off. So we are going to meet with him this week, get all that lockdown and figure it all out. And we should have the VIP packages out this week. Also, the vendor information will be out this week as well. We're waiting for Brian, who's handling all that for us, to get back to us and get that squared away. So we're going to have a lot of stuff coming out this week. So just stay alert on your on the page and see what we put out.
Yeah, and also speaking of information for the expo, you can book your stay at the Embassy Suites Lake Buena Vista South that weekend, and there's a special rate for House of Mouse Expo guests. If you go to houseofmouseexpo.com, you'll be able to see there's a link there for
accommodations.
There's only so many at this block, and it's really convenient to stay there because of the festivities that go on all weekend long. Plus, it's close to food. There's food in the restaurant. There's free breakfast and free happy hour. I'm really going to drive that home to you guys, because the free breakfast and free happy hour was like perfect.
It is. And the breakfast isn't just your standard continental breakfast with a few pastries and toast and that's it. This is a full-fledged omelet station breakfast with all the bells and whistles you could want. And then, like she said, at nighttime they do the happy hour where you get, for each adult staying with you, gets, I think it's two drinks. Is that what it is? That's what they say too. Yeah, that's what they say. So we can't say that it's more than that, but you do get two drinks during the happy hour every day you stay. So that's just another plus they give you. The room rate is $179 plus taxes and fees and all that. That was the one we're
going to. And they're big rooms, big enough to share. So yeah. If you're coming with other people, you could actually bunk up together. It's a lot of room in those rooms because they're suites.
They're considered two room suites. So the standard room has two queen size beds in it, plus a sleeper sofa in the living room area. You have a small kitchen. Oh, really? It was a microwave, refrigerator.
Yeah, I mean, you really could bunk up there for the weekend and enjoy all the festivities. And plus, for Saturday night, we're going to be working on a party. So it'd be really just convenient. Or if you live close by, then that's great too. Or if you're staying at Disney, we're only going to be 5 minutes from Disney Springs. So regardless of what your plan is for that weekend, looks like it'll be easy peasy.
It does. And just for anybody who is coming in from out of town and you want to stay longer, that room rate is good for 3 days before the event and 3 days after the event. Because I know last year we had the few people who came in before the event and after, and they were able to get that room rate for those days as well. So if you are coming into town and you need a little bit longer, they will accommodate you with that rate for, like I said, 3 days before, 3 days after.
Yes. Sorry, I'm really excited.
No, it's going to be a fun time. We've got so many big things in the works that we hope you guys are just going to love it when we start unveiling even more details down the line. So stay
tuned. This is just the beginning.
Do
you know how hard it is to sit on information and not tell you guys? I mean, I get so excited about stuff that I just want to say, oh my gosh, guess what? And I can't.
And Sue just said she just started watching and wants to know when this is. So the House of Mouse Expo is January 28th through the 22nd, 2023 at the Embassy Suites Lake Buena Vista South in Kissimmee. It's roughly a 5-minute drive to Disney Springs from there.
Yes, it's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And again, you can get more information at houseofmouseexpo.com.
That's right. And we will keep that updated as well as new stuff hits, new availability. Standard 1-day and weekend tickets are available on the site now, so you can get those if you are looking just to get tickets like that. And again, this week we should have the VIP tickets available as well as the party tickets once we find out more information about that.
Yeah, so stay tuned. But you can buy regular tickets now, just not VIP packages. Not yet, but hopefully in the next couple days.
We're trying to put the package together to make it really a great package for you guys this year. So we're really trying to step up everything. As much as everybody told us we did a great job last year, we want to do even better this coming year. So
yeah, you can always improve. You know, last year was a learning curve for us, and this coming year we want to make it even better. So we really appreciate your support, because definitely events like this are a huge undertaking for us and would not be successful if not for all of you. So thank you so much.
Exactly.
Much appreciated.
That's it for sure. So again, houseofmouseexpo.com for any more information. So now let's get on to our normal show, shall we?
Now a normal show. I mean, Jack started drinking water, so it's like did. That's our cue to go into normal silliness.
And Aiden's asleep on the couch.
Is she?
I believe so.
I thought I just saw her because Aiden didn't grab her. Oh, no, she's back here.
Oh.
Anyway, so let's see what else we can talk about. Guardians of the Galaxy opened this past weekend. And was it Thursday? There was an announcement on Twitter about it being a virtual queue, not just about a virtual queue, but how you could buy the individual lightning lane, like the pay to play type of thing.
For just that attraction.
For that attraction, but you have to be staying there, correct?
Yeah, I believe that's what somebody had said. Yeah, you had to be staying on property at one of the hotels.
Chuck, if you're watching, can you verify that? I'm pretty sure that you had to be staying to actually buy the individual.
I believe that's what it was. Yeah, I'm not sure. More.
And then the lightning lane to ride was, well,
the queue to do the
one time through was $17 this weekend per person. So if you couldn't get you, their virtual queue opens at 7 a.m. and you don't have to be in the park for that one, but like by 7:01, they're pretty much
I think it's gone before 7:01 even hit. Similar to how Rise would sell out within seconds usually of that time hitting. But there is another virtual queue that starts at 1 p.m.
1 o'clock, but you have to be in the park for that one.
You must already be inside Epcot to try to get that one. So make sure if you're going to do that, you get there about 15 minutes before 1 to make sure you have time to get all situated and ready to hit your refresh button as fast as you can.
Right, and I heard, I actually heard mixed reviews. As far as I heard, some people got the virtual queue relatively easy, And then I heard some people that said it was gone. Like if it went up at 1 o'clock, 1:01, it was like gone.
Yeah.
So I, and then there's always the option to buy, pay $17 per person to ride it.
If you're on property.
If you're on property. Because I actually didn't realize that, because yesterday, like, everybody wrote it that we were with, and we didn't have a pass because we weren't able to get in a virtual queue. And I'm very much against pay to play. I'm very much against Genie Plus. I think I've made that known. I think it's unfair.
You are?
I don't like it. I think we need to go back to regular fast pass. But anyway, I digress. I really didn't want to buy to the ticket anyway, but I did consider it for a minute until I realized we couldn't do it anyway.
And I'd rather have money for merchandise.
Yeah, I'd rather shop with that money, but you know, to each their own.
Because all the merchandise did hit also, and it is open in the Wonders of Xandar store.
Treasures of Xandar, sorry, I said that wrong.
Store that's attached to the ride. There's a building, as you leave the ride, there's a doorway there where you can go into their store, but also the merchandise is in the Creations shop. And there was a lot of merchandise.
So if you can't get into the little store, they have the same merchandise in the big shop. And they had all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, they have shirts, they have little trinkets, they have like a little dancing baby Groot in a flower pot, they have mugs, they have helmets, they have
tons of different shirts, bags. I can't get over everything they had. And then they had the different pieces that held the Infinity Stones in the Marvel Universe.
Toys.
So you could buy Loki's Scepter, you could buy the orb which held the stone from the first Guardians movie. You could buy the Tesseract, you could buy, I'm trying to remember everything.
Which I don't understand, because so they had all this Guardians merchandise, but then they had some Loki stuff in there. They had like a Loki shirt, and then they had Loki's Scepter, which I know my Loki stuff. I just he's not in the ride. So that confused me just the
I would think it's because Loki season 2 is going to be coming.
But why is it with all the new Guardians stuff?
I don't know.
I'm just asking. I mean, what do I know? I think I've said, what do I know? I don't know how many times in the past week, because it's just a disclaimer.
I think that's all part of the just the different stones from the movies, because Thanos wasn't in Guardians 1 or 2, but yet everything that happens in those movies kind of affects what happens with that, and Loki and everything, so that might be why.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, with the whole Infinity Stone thing, that doesn't really have anything to do with the ride either.
No, but the orb was in the first movie, and it's just kind of gone like that. So I think that probably has something to do with it.
Maybe. I don't know. Or they're hinting as, like, for what's coming for the future. Maybe
Loki's going to be in the ride, try to take it over.
Oh, that would be cool. I just don't know if, what do you guys think of virtual queues? Do you like that idea? Do you like being able to go on the app and try to secure a spot? Or would you rather stand in a standby line? I mean, because now you can do that over at Rise of the Resistance. So I'm guessing eventually. That they're going to do that. Because, when Tron opens, I mean, maybe they'll stop the virtual queue, kind of like they jump. Like they stop a virtual queue before another one is getting ready to start.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is that on certain nights, and tonight was actually one of them, there's extended evening hours at Epcot. And if you're staying at a deluxe resort or deluxe villa, you can actually get another queue at 6 o'clock in the evening for those special nights. But you have to be staying at one of those resorts. You don't have to be in the park to get into the virtual queue at 6 o'clock. But there is another chance to get a line or a ride virtual queue if you are staying at a deluxe resort or villa for any night that has extended theme park hours. So tonight the park's open at 11, I believe.
So, but you have to be staying in the most expensive resorts, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure we got that clear. Sorry, I'm tired. It's been a long week. We had family in town, and our son graduated, and it's just been busy, busy, busy.
And we haven't slept.
Yeah, there's that.
Actually, we both passed out on my couch a little while ago.
Can you tell? That's why my hair is not done and I'm looking like, ugh. But I was so excited to do the show because of Brett. So there's that. What else did we do at Epcot yesterday?
We tried that pretzel bread pudding that Corey Tucker made us go try.
Yeah. So did you guys know about the pretzel bread pudding back in Germany? If not, you totally need to know about the pretzel bread pudding in Germany. It was so good. It was so good. What is that? Is that Ava?
I am Ava.
Sorry. Anyway, oh, I see a note.
What's that?
Stressful trying to get into virtual video. It is stressful.
It's very stressful because we did it a lot for when Rise of the Resistance hit. We would be in the parks. We would try in the morning. Most of the time, Rise of Resistance, I think there was more problems with Rise of Resistance with people getting virtual queues because the ride breaks down so often or has to go down for a reboot that there wasn't as much available. And I think that's one thing why I've heard a lot of people have gotten the Guardians virtual queues, because I think the ride is doing really well, knock on wood, as far as going down and such, that it's and that allows for more riders.
Yeah, but it is stressful. I mean, like yesterday we were driving to Epcot. We're going to go back to the bread pudding in just a minute, sidebar. But, you know, we're driving to Epcot yesterday and we're trying to get into the park for one. And I knew if we weren't in there right at one, there was no way. There's just no way. It is a little bit stressful because, you know, I've said it before, I feel bad about people that are in town just for a couple days maybe, and they only have so many tries to get on a new attraction. And if they can't, you know, it really is the luck of the draw with the virtual queue. You're just because you are there right on time doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Yeah,
so
you got to depend on your phone service having a great connection. You have to worry about when you actually hit the refresh button that somebody didn't hit it a millisecond before you did. There's just so many factors that go into it. And that's where I see a lot of people who are only in for a few days and maybe only have that one day to try to ride it are going to spend the money to ride it because they might not be back for a year. And do they want to miss out, or is it, or do you in your head go, what's $17 and I'll get to ride it and I can talk about it for the next year? The ride is awesome. There is no doubt about that. It is a great ride. Nobody has said that I know of has said they didn't like the ride yet. Corey tried to do that to us and he lied and then admitted it was.
Going to get mad at him because I knew that he was messing with me. But it is a good ride. And you know what? And when I say, let me put a disclaimer in case anybody's watching that's new. When I say I'm not a fan of Genie Plus and the pay system and all that, I'm coming from an annual pass holder point of view because, you know, we live here and if we were to spend money every single time extra and we went to the park, I mean, we'd be broke. So we take our chances in standby. However, if we were vacationers, or if let's say we were doing a staycation and we were on Disney property and we decided we couldn't get in the virtual, like, okay, I really want to ride Guardians. Yes, then I would do it. But on a regular old, let's have something to do park day.
Yeah.
It's hard to justify.
And actually, so Chuck and Karen were at the park with us yesterday when we saw them, and Chuck really, he really kind of laid it out. He goes, it's the price if you have a drink at the park. It's almost the same price as getting a good drink and what they charge for that. They
can
just go
ride
the ride. It's easy to justify it. It's easy to not justify it, depending on how you look at things. It's just I have a hard time. I personally, if you're going to pay for it, I think you should get to ride it maybe two or three times. Maybe not back to back.
Yeah, not $17 for one ride.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a great ride.
It is a great
ride. It's a great ride.
But you're going to ride it once, you're going to be like, oh, I want to go back on it.
Yeah.
So that's where they kind of got you, because the ride is that good. You want to see it. You want to hear a different song. For sure.
That's part of the fun of it all. What song did you get? I mean, every time somebody rides it, that's one of the questions they ask, you know, what song did you get?
It is. Or people just say, oh, I hit the Bondi song, right?
Right?
Yeah, so it's kind of cool, but I digress. Back to pretzel bread pudding in Germany.
Let's go back to food for a sec. All right, so the pretzel bread pudding. I don't even know what all that was. But
it was good.
And it was
about what, this big maybe?
It looked, when they first gave it to us, it looked like a cinnamon roll. Like, and not the kind, not like a Gaston's Tavern cinnamon roll. Like one of the ones that you bake at home in the pan, like the Pillsbury ones, like the round. And it had like this like frosting, like glaze over the top, but it was almost like a vanilla drizzle. And then it tasted like bread pudding, but every couple of bites, you would taste salt. Because it's pretzel bread pudding. And so if you like a sweet and salty combo.
It's good.
It was so good.
What was it? It was four something? With tax and everything, it was just over $5.
Yeah. And worth it. Because we split one and I was kind of regretful that we didn't get our own. But for like four something, we'll get our own next time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It was so
good. Definitely a good one. And it's back, so it's back inside the pavilion, back close to where you go into Beer Garden.
It's Summer, what is it called? Summer House back there?
I think so, but it actually
next to the Beer Garden.
Yeah, right next to the entrance to Beer Garden, so you'll see a little window in there once you walk into the building back there, and you'll see that's where you can order it.
It was really good. Now I'm like hungry. I've been eating like crap all week, and then we're talking about...
And we haven't eaten dinner yet.
And we haven't eaten dinner, but God, that sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. We have to make a drive back.
We're only 10 minutes from outside.
Okay, well, let's talk because...
All right, I'm going to get bread pudding. Okay, and you know what? Like, literally, I've had, like, nothing else on my list to talk about except for Brett Island, Guardians, and bread pudding. What else you got, Alan?
That's a good question. I don't think I have much else.
What do you guys want to talk about?
We literally could. We had family in town this week. We were really with family every single day they were here. We did take we did go with the family to the Magic Kingdom on Friday.
Oh, that's a good thing to talk about.
And we did do it with our nephews who had never been to the Magic Kingdom, and they are almost 1 and 4.
Yes, the little guy is 11 months. He'll be 1 next month, and the other one just turned 4 in April.
Right. So the family, of course, they're used to up in Michigan where you go to Cedar Point, and little kids can't ride those rides at Cedar Point. They didn't really realize that the kids could go on almost everything at Disney. Jackson, especially the 4-year-old, was able to do everything. Connor, as long as he can sit on our lap, we took him on It's a Small World. We took him on Ariel, Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Dumbo.
So he got to do a lot of those little rides, but he had such a blast. And I have video on my phone of us going through It's a Small World and him just clapping the whole time as we rode through it. It was an amazing experience to see Disney magic in somebody so young, not even 1 year old yet, and him just having the time of his life.
He sat on my lap on Under the Sea with Ariel. So he was sitting in a clamshell with me and Aiden, and I put the little bar over his chunky little legs, you know, and I wasn't sure what he would think of it. And he danced and clapped the whole time, especially in the Under the Sea part with all the fish and everything. It's like... It's so strange how, like, Disney magic, per se, really doesn't have any boundaries as far as, like, when to start. And that's another thing, too, because, like, my dad and I disagree as far as when is a good age to bring a child. Now, my dad's of the old school opinion that, you know, start at 5. Now, I was under the opinion that start at birth.
I think it comes down to the child also and how they are, how their temperament is. If they're going to go into it and they're just going to have fun and they're going to love every minute of it, or if they're kind of timid when they go into it and they might be a little leery about what this is, or like the Haunted Mansion can definitely be a little scary to a child.
It can, but like, see, for me, I mean, I guess we're just different. And maybe I'm a little weird, which I know I am, but, you know... Like, my boys both had their first visit to Disney World at my nephew's age, 11 months. And for me, I don't know what you guys think, but a baby is easy peasy at Disney, in my opinion, because, you know, I put him on rides with me. He went on my on Dumbo with my sister-in-law, and that baby just clapped and was so excited the whole time. Now, my dad's argument is, well, they're not going to remember that. Which is true, but you're going to remember that. I mean, some of my best memories are watching my kids' first experiences at Disney, watching them, you know, see the characters, see fireworks, see all these things for the first time, and those pictures are some of my favorites.
Right. We took Jackson. If you've watched the show for any length of time, you know that I've got him hooked on Buzz Lightyear. He absolutely loves Buzz Lightyear. So we did take him on the Buzz ride at Magic Kingdom, and he was so enthralled when he saw Buzz inside the queue. Talking, and he didn't want to move. He just wanted to stand there all day and listen to Buzz talk. And it was cool to see that it just like it took him over, that he just had to watch Buzz, whatever Buzz was going to say and do. He just had to stand there. And I was like, okay, we got to go. There's people behind us who want to go forward.
Yeah, he would have stood there all day and watched Buzz. You know, but I think that, you know, it's what you make it. And yeah, I know there's some kids that maybe wouldn't do as well. I mean, my kids were, I think I was spoiled because the boys were so easy when it came to Disney. It was just, it's kind of in their blood too, but I have no problem taking little ones to the parks. And I thought it was, you know, do you guys think that there's a limit there? Probably not, because you're like me.
And I think if the parent is the Disney loving fanatic that most of us all are who are watching this right now, then you're doing that for the memory of watching your child, niece, cousin, whatever, see that for the first time. And that might be where certain people don't get that, because like you said, the old school, they're looking at the value for the money. Did I paid this much for my child to go to it? Are they going to enjoy it? Or are they going to have memories? Where we're looking at it as, well, you're going to have the memories. You're going to have those photos, and they're going to see those photos years later.
And hopefully that they grow up to be Disney fans, and then you can show them those pictures when they get older. When we got to the park Friday, my sister-in-law wanted the kids to see Festival of Fantasy. Well, as soon as we get in the park, guess what? It rains. And she wanted them to be able to kind of see all the characters in one swoop. And it was delayed. Then we were getting off Haunted Mansion and started walking towards Pirates. And I could hear the horns for Festival of Fantasy. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a parade. So, and nobody was expecting it because it was 4:35. So the 3 o'clock parade was at 4:35 on Friday. So I grabbed that stroller and pushed it right up to the, you know, the rope, because give my nephews a front and center view of Festival of Fantasy. And I kept turning the camera on them because I could see, like, little one is clapping, the four-year-old is waving at the characters, and my heart wanted to just burst because that's what it's all about, really. You know, I mean, that magic starts so, it can start so young.
And I think kids, like Jackson, who's four, he's going to remember this now. He's going to go home, he's going to be talking about it. People are going to ask him what Disney was like. He's going to talk about it. So it's not that he's not going to remember it. He might not remember all the details. But he's going to be like, I was at Disney, I saw Buzz Lightyear.
I saw the castle. And you know, it's like, my mom and I were talking this week about my first trip. I thought I was six all these years. She said I was five. Who knew? But I remember the castle. I remember the water around the castle. I remember It's a Small World. I remember, you know, there's certain things that even at five, I still made those memories that stuck after all these years. So I'm hoping that we were able to do the same with the nephews, well, at least with the four-year-old. And then the one-year-old, I'll just tell him about it. You went when you were one.
Well, in a couple years, he'll be back, and he'll get to see it all and see how much more there is for him to remember and such. That's weird. Yours was five. Mine was one. I went to Disneyland when I was four.
Oh, you had me beat by a year.
Yeah,
well,
I remember. When I was four, we went out there. So, and I do remember parts of the trip, which is crazy to think about, but I do remember little pieces of being at Disney.
Do you guys remember your first trip? Were you little or were you older? Because I know some people, you know, their love of Disney starts much later. Mm-hmm. I mean, Grammy, you went when you were little, but when you met me, I like totally put my magic.
I went to Disneyland when I was four. I went to Disney World when I was five. And I went back to Disneyland again when I was 12. And then I didn't go again until we went. And away.
A long time. It's just weird how, like, you know, you can make a fan out of somebody at any age. Or, like, my friends in Michigan that were older as well. And, you know,
a perfect example is Michelle Pernum, one of the Michigan besties. She never saw it until we had that first meetup at the Magic Kingdom.
Right. And, you know, hi, Ariel. You had made the comment that you spend more time looking at your kids. And that's so true. I mean, during the parade and during, here's me. Like I have a stroller facing this way so the kids can see the parade. But then I got my camera over here trying to get the little ones. I see my sister-in-law doing the same thing on her side because we don't want to block their view of the parade, but we want to get the reaction video.
Should have been standing across the way, one of you to take pictures of them.
Oh, missed opportunity. But it was such a last minute thing. So, but yeah, it was really, really cool. And I really it affirms my belief that you can start Disney at any age. And I don't, obviously 11 months must run in our family for whatever reason.
Yeah. So weird that it's hit a couple times.
Right. Why 11 months? So yes, I endorse 11 months for your first trip to Disney.
Not 10. Don't do 10.
Not 10.
Wait till 11 months.
11 months. But yeah, it's just so cute because, you know, a lot of people, this is what's funny, is if you're not a seasoned Disney person, a lot of people don't realize how many rides kids can go on. Mm-hmm. And I think,
especially at the Magic Kingdom.
Right. Magic Kingdom, to me, like they mentioned something about Hollywood Studios next time, and next time would be fine. But I really think that as far as like you're going to pick a park to take little ones to, that Magic Kingdom is the way to go.
Yeah, you definitely have the most to do there for the kid. And back when, once the train is running again, that's another thing the kids
go on.
There's a lot of things for the little one to do at Magic Kingdom, where if you go to the studios, you don't really have a lot of options there for real little. I mean, because even Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, you move around on that pretty quick, where I don't think Connor could have probably handled that.
No, I don't think so, especially where Daisy does like the cha-cha dance.
Exactly. You have that, and then you have Rise, you have Smuggler's Run, you have Tower, you have Rock and Roller Coaster.
Maybe not the best part.
So it probably wouldn't work to go to like Hollywood Studios for anybody little, but I think the Magic Kingdom is just hands down the best one to be able to hit kids to. Animal Kingdom, because you got a lot of shows you could do. Yeah. But as far as rides go, Epcot, there's not many that little ones could do. Not have a problem. I mean, they couldn't do Soarin', they couldn't do Test Track. Guardians, for sure, they wouldn't be able to do.
Oh, you can't take a 1-year-old on Guardians?
No, but you can on Three Caballeros.
So I don't endorse taking babies on roller coasters. No. But yeah, it was just kind of cool to be able to get that experience all over again, because now my sons are taller than me and they don't get as excited as they used to. But I will say, the first time they rode Guardians, well, the only time they rode Guardians, I was doing it again. I was watching their faces in like the pre-show. And I was watching them, like we're getting ready to go on the ride, and they're standing waiting and for the next car to come up. And then there's me with my camera waiting. I think they're just used to it. They're used to mom paparazzi with them, because I don't think that really goes away. Like their first experiences with Disney stuff now, I want to see their faces. And especially because I already did Guardians, so I knew how great it was. So I really wanted the boys to hopefully enjoy it as much as I did.
And they were excited to ride Guardians, because they're both, Andrew's a huge Marvel fan like I am, but he loves roller coasters, and Aiden loves any roller coaster. So the fact that they both wanted to go check this out and see, they wanted to know if it was going to be a real roller coaster or if it was going to be a Disney roller coaster, where it was more happy and not so fast and all that stuff.
Or if it was like a Universal ride where it was a simulator.
Salt Screens or Remy.
Really?
Yeah. But they both loved it, and I know they're both already talking about Tron. They can't wait for Tron.
Oh, I know. As soon as they, like within 10 minutes, that was such a great ride. Now I'm excited for Tron. I'm like, you were still should have been on the high for Guardians, and they're already talking about Tron.
But it's hard to go to the Magic Kingdom and not be excited about Tron. You see all the way the building is coming together and the outside of it. It's exciting. I can't wait to ride Tron.
I know. And I bet you that, like I said earlier, that's going to be a virtual queue.
I would guess so.
Or you're going to pay $17 to ride it. I mean, if you
wasn't
want to go
Smugglers Run a virtual queue at 1.2? I'm trying to think. What ride was the first ride to do a virtual queue? Was it Rise? Or was there something?
I thought it was Rise of the Resistance. Was
it?
I
remember.
No. Well, yeah. Because, and then Remy's Ratatouille Adventure was virtual when it first opened. And they didn't do virtual for very
long
on that one.
No.
I'm trying to think what else was. It might have just been, maybe it was just Rise. Rise of the Resistance, you know, used to be, you know, God, it's been open for almost 3 years. It opened in 19. It's hard to remember if that was the first one, but it could have been
the first one that we did that with. Now, and now it's to where it's not virtual, but it had to go through COVID and all that, but now you can.
It had COVID.
You had to go, now you can go wait in line for it and ride it. And the lines haven't been horrible for it. I've seen it under 2 hours, which kind of says to me it's kind of like Mine Train. Because Mine Train, a lot of times you go Mine Train 75 to 90 minutes for that wait.
Yeah.
And Rise is a much longer ride.
Yeah.
For that wait. So if you're willing to wait for Seven Dwarfs, you'd definitely be willing to wait for Rise.
Yeah.
It's that same.
I think Rise would go quicker if it didn't break down so much.
I think it does. And I'm not even sure if it breaks down or if it just needs. I've heard that the computer system gets overheated and needs to be rebooted.
It needs to cool off.
It needs to cool off.
Less water, take a break.
Well, Kylo Ren's he's kind of angry. So.
He's mad. He needs to cool off, take a break. But it happens.
It does.
I had another point before we started talking about Rise needing a break. I can't remember what it was now. Darn it, I hate it when that happens. After we shut it off, I'm going to be like...
She's going to be like, turn it back on.
I can't remember what it was. No, it was about virtual cues. It was about... I don't remember.
No.
Darn it. All right, maybe it'll come to me.
Something else that happened this past weekend that was huge news was Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim.
All right. I'm going to be nice.
Okay, go ahead and be nice.
I went on my personal wall the other day. It kills me. Like, okay, so I don't know if it's Facebook algorithms or if it's just our audience. Now, mind you, across social media, on the Main Street Mouse, there's 500,000 followers. 500,000 between Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, are people who are subscribers on our site, the whole thing. None of y'all care about Star Wars.
Don't say that. There's quite
okay,
a few who care.
Most of our followers don't care about Star Wars. Like, I put out, like, breaking news about Disney Plus and Obi-Wan and movies and all this cool stuff and radio silence. I don't get it.
I don't know. Obi-Wan, if you haven't seen the first two episodes yet, go. If you like Star Wars even a little bit, go watch those first two episodes. They are, hands down, this is the best show. I think it's better than Mandalorian. I think it's better than definitely better than Book of Boba. It is great so far through the first two episodes. And usually the way these shows have gone is those first couple episodes, it's really kind of hard. Like WandaVision most people did not understand WandaVision after the first few episodes. This one, there's so many Easter eggs back to the original movies. Just seeing where Obi-Wan's character went for that time period so far is fascinating. I cannot wait for the next for episode 3 to be here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird because I know that granted the Main Street Mouse is not particularly a Star Wars audience, which I understand. Because I was never when I started running the Facebook page 12 years ago this month. Holy cannoli. But I never put out a lot of Star Wars content.
Well, there wasn't anything.
There really wasn't much going on.
They didn't even own Star Wars then, did they?
No.
They hadn't bought it yet. Same with Marvel. They didn't own Marvel at that point either.
It was a different time. It was a different time back then. Like,
there was no chance of getting a Star Wars land then. We never even, I mean, it's something probably true fans would. I would love it if I had a land where I could go be part of the Star Wars universe. and now you can. So
12 years. Who'd have thought, right?
Thought we made it. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just looking for other people who like Disney to chat with. I didn't know that all this was gonna happen, but that's pretty cool. But my whole point was when we started building years ago, we never really built off a Star Wars base. But I mean, I like it. There's certain things I like better than others. But I got excited when Galaxy's Edge opened. I like Rise of the Resistance. I like all that stuff. But, 12 years.
No, and like I said, Star Wars 12 years ago, there was no Disney Star Wars. The only thing was Star Tours. That was the only thing that we had that was Disney Star Wars combination. And then Star Wars Weekends, of course, for many of those years, was still going.
Yes.
But they still weren't. Disney wasn't the parent company of both companies.
Yeah, and so, like after we moved here, was it 2 years after they stopped Star Wars Weekends?
Yeah.
Was a year after, so we never really got to enjoy it so much. So,
yeah. I really liked it when they did it, so I didn't really get to enjoy much of the Star Wars Weekends.
No.
Now I need Marvel Weekends. It would be great.
Oh my gosh. He should have seen him yesterday when we went into Creation Shop because he was in his glory with all that Marvel stuff. It's almost like he was like, finally.
It reminded me of him because I've always been one to complain whenever we go. If you go to World of Disney for a long time until recently, now they have a bigger Marvel.
He's always one to complain. We should have just put a period on the end of that sentence. But
for a long time, Marvel would get one little display inside the store. And my biggest thing was Marvel makes more money for the company than anything else yet. We get the smallest amount of merchandise. We get two shirts and a stuffed animal, and they call that Marvel merchandise. And it was ridiculous for many years. Now they have a little bit more space. Star Wars still beats them out in World of Disney. And there's two Star Wars stores, one Marvel store, but they're starting to get more. And I think with Guardians coming, that's going to help with that. Definitely. And there was so much merchandise that dropped. There was so much I wanted. I'm going to create a Scott's wish list. and put it out there.
He was like, oh my gosh, oh, I'd love to have this. I'd love to have that. Wait, I'm going to bookmark you for 1 second.
Bookmark.
Somebody, and my eyes are all, because I'm really tired. My contacts aren't working so great. The guest announcement was the voice of Mickey Mouse, Brett Iwan. So for
House of Mouse
Expo, we have Mickey Mouse. All right. Anyway. Mickey Mouse.
So yeah. So what she was saying was just there's so much good merchandise. They really did well with this one. One of our other friends, Melissa Link, was there at the same time we were. And I kept saying to her, I said, now all of a sudden they have a million things I want. Sometimes you see the merchandise, like, it's okay. It's not must-haves. And this one, there were so many must-haves. Because to me, if you take Marvel, Star Wars, and Disney, Marvel's my number one, always. And so it was just nice to see that big of a storm. It reminded me of Avengers Campus and just having so much Marvel to choose from. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know. And what was I going to say? Lord, Michelle, get
Merchandise.
When we were at Magic Kingdom, it's funny how, like, have you guys been watching the Johnny Depp trial for the past, I don't know how many weeks? I have.
6 weeks.
He has. And it's so funny how people are, you know, there's a ton of people in line for Pirates, and how, like, even though, you know, real life has nothing to do with movies and such, and how, like, I'm surprised there weren't, like, Justice for Johnny Depp signs outside Pirates, because it was really interesting to see. And the last time we were in the Pirate store, speaking of merchandise, that's what I was going to say. They had some new Pirates merchandise. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of shirts and stuff that I actually want to go back in there and get. So they're starting to, like, merchandise was kind of stale for a while there, but it seems like they're finally starting to get better with different products and things.
And I wonder if a lot of that had to do with the shipping issues that were worldwide, that they just couldn't get merchandise. The boats were sitting in the ocean and they couldn't get them unloaded.
I don't know.
Different terminals. So who knows what it could have been. But I have noticed Disney starting to get more new merchandise all over. Actually, all the stores are getting new stuff, it seems like. And it's good merchandise.
It's not running out. Like, yes. You remember a few weeks ago, they came out with the Main Street Electrical Parade merchandise and everybody was grabbing it off the shelf.
The ears and the back.
And the spirit jersey. Yes. And now you're able to find it. They have it. The shelves do get a little bit, you know, light, but they restock. It's not like it was back in October when the 50th started and people were fighting over merchandise and there wasn't enough to go around. I think that they're finally getting a handle on that.
And I think a lot of it too is Disney tired of the shoppers making so much money off of their merchandise. And they're going there and they're buying out the merchandise and they're reselling it for a much higher cost. And Disney fans are upset, and they can be, because they know that if they wait till their trip, there's chances are Disney's not going to have it. So they have to buy it if they really want it. And there's a lot more for it. And
but I'm glad to see them restocking.
One thing was the when the Cinderella Castle came out, the Funko Pop with the gold Mickey in it.
Oh.
Everybody was afraid those were gone, because they were selling out every day. And now you can pretty much find them.
Have you seen them?
I seen them. I didn't look for them yesterday at Epcot, but I have noticed the last few times we've been at Epcot, they had quite a few of them there in the creation store.
I mean, some things are going to be park exclusive or are hard to get, of course, because Disney likes hype. We all know that.
Oh, yeah. That's, you create the hype. You create the, I have to get it because it's going to be sold out. And then you get it and there's like 500 of them on the shelf. Like, well, I guess I didn't have to have it right then. But you buy it because that whole, I panic buy. Oh, yeah.
I mean, not all the time, but I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, because now you can kind of see them restocking, so I don't freak out. Or I take the approach, so I don't want to be a hypocrite, because I was teasing him yesterday about all the Marvel stuff. But if that whole section was filled with Tangled merchandise, I would be in so much trouble, because, like, for him, here's my analogy. Like, for him, they don't have a lot of Marvel. They're getting more because of Guardians and because it's becoming more of a thing. No, they don't. They never have Tangled merchandise, which I don't understand why.
The Germany store used to have it, but the store's still not open back then.
Right. So if there was a whole section of Tangled merchandise, which I really wish Disney would get on that, but part of me doesn't, because I'd be broke. But I would probably, like, get, like, a shopping bag or two and just be like, yep, gotta have this. Yep, gotta have that. Because if you have a really intense fandom for something in particular, you want all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing with the like the electrical parade, because it's such nostalgia for people. And when they came out with merchandise for it, people went nuts because, you know, we miss having the electrical parade mm-hmm. at Walt Disney World, and you have to go out to Disneyland to see it, but you can find the merchandise. I mean, everybody knows that music, you know, people have it as their ringtones on their phone, and it's just, it brings that nostalgia. And, speaking of, we have new pre-orders for leggings that hit today, and we do have a Main Street Electrical Parade print at Lost Princess of the
Fall. I did notice some people asked early on how long the pre-order was going to run. Originally, I was going to run through Sunday, but I was going to start it yesterday, and I didn't do that. So it's probably going to run through next Monday night.
Give it a week.
Mm-hmm. So, and usually sometimes I'll add an extra half a day or whatever because orders still kind of trickle in. Because for some reason, no matter what day we put out there, people don't see it until it's too late. Because Facebook's horrible with that. So we would probably run it till at least next Monday, if not till next Tuesday. So you do have time if you didn't get on.
And you can also sign up for our mailing list for Lost Princess Apparel at lostprincessapparel.com, so that when there are new releases and information, you will get email announcements.
Yeah, and I try not to send out emails unless it's either if we're running a giveaway, if we're running a new pre-order, or if we have new merchandise that hits that we haven't stocked. So we did just start the pre-order today, but last Friday we also listed some of the new leggings arrivals that we came in.
Yeah, we have new leggings in stock, and we have Figment, we have Mickey Lemon,
solid black,
solid black. We have all kinds of really, really cute stuff for summer, and they do have capris. I wore capris to Epcot yesterday, and I wasn't dying in the park, and it was 90 degrees, so, and plus pockets. So yeah, so those are we do have Lost Princess at lostprincessapparel.com or Lost Princess Apparel on social media. You can see some of the new goodies because they're pretty cool. We have Mickey Pretzels this time.
Yeah, Mickey Pretzels came out with this one. And then we also did Monsters Inc. The Doors.
Yeah, we're really bad about Pixar. So
we keep doing Toy Story, and this time we did Monsters Inc.
I love Monsters Inc. I mean, my kids loved Monsters Inc. So it was like one of their favorites. So it kind of has a special place in my heart. So we have The Doors on Monster Doors, not the group. The rock band, we made Doors leggings. But yeah, we do have Doors. What else? I think that's really it.
So Star Wars Weekend, they did announce, or Star Wars Celebration, they did announce a lot of new shows and such coming for that. Bad Batch 2 is coming. Obi-Wan debuted. There's just a lot coming out with that. Willow is getting a second move or a second show now. That was the movie in the 80s with Warwick Davis. That's coming back. I'm trying to think what else we put out though. Harrison Ford, they did Indiana Jones. That was announced at Celebration. So a lot of great announcements out there. Again, we put out some of them, but we didn't put out all the announcements because honestly, it didn't seem like the majority were interested in it, sadly. And of course, just so you understand why we don't put them all out there is because if we put out stuff that nobody's reading, it cuts the reach on stuff that we may want you guys to make sure you see later.
We have to pick and choose.
So we have to be picky and choosy. We could put out every single blog they send to us, but then there's a chance you probably would see 80% of them if we did it that way. So we have to kind of pick and choose which ones the audience prefers, and that's the ones we kind of.
You're on our Facebook page, but if you go on our Facebook page, I believe there's like a see first or some sort of favorites option so that that will stay in your news feed. It's nothing more frustrating than putting out like great content and not having anybody see it. Or when people ask us after the fact, like, oh, did you guys know about this? Or did you guys, you know, and people aren't seeing it. So
yeah, it's really heartbreaking because we'll spend a lot of time like, oh wow, this article is going to blow up. Everybody's going to want to know this, and like nobody sees it. But then the articles we don't think anybody's going to care about seem to be the ones that get the biggest reach because
we can't figure out
Facebook's algorithm.
Nobody can. And you know, it's really hard for small businesses. So I'm not going to go on a big old lecture about that, but support your small businesses because we appreciate it so much.
Definitely.
So I guess that's it. So go to houseofmouseexpo.com to get more information about our lovely little event that'll be here before we know it in January 20th to 22nd.
And individual day tickets are available out there as well as weekend tickets are available right now. VIP will be out this week. Party tickets we hope to have out this week for the Saturday night festivity we're going to do. Trying to think what else. And now we're still working on with the vendors. We should have that information out for any vendors who are interested in getting part of the show.
Please stay tuned because this is just the beginning, and there's all kinds of great information and announcements and fun things coming. So you can follow House of Mouse Expo on Facebook and Instagram. for more updates too.
And one thing to think about that is when we did the first one, we still have more time between now and the expo than we did with the first one. We made the very first announcement until the expo. So we're this one's going to be a lot better. It's going to be bigger, better. And we have a feeling we're going to have a lot more people coming to see this one.
It's going to be great.
It's
going
to be great.
So houseofmilesexpo.com, houseofmilesexpo on social media. Make sure you're following along.
Then again, lostprincessapparel.com for all the clothing. Like she said, we dropped pre-order today. We do have new leggings in stock. And stay tuned to the Main Street Mouse for all the news and things that are coming out of Disney, Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars. As we get it, we'll put out what we think you guys are going to enjoy.
Absolutely. Well, obviously it's not Star Wars, but we'll still put out the...
I put out the Marvel one.
And if Disney could work on a whole Tangled merchandise area, that'd be fantastic too.
I mean, anything else you want? Well,
no, I'm good.
You already said Genie Plus, you and not.
I don't like Genie Plus, and I really need more Tangled merch.
Now see how it's changed. I used to be the negative one about this stuff.
I just am not a fan. Give me my fast passes back. I don't wanna have to plan my whole stinking day on the phone.
It used to make our meetup easier too, because we would have the three fast passes and we put them out there like, okay, we're gonna do Jungle Cruise, we're gonna do Mansion, we're gonna do Monsters Laugh Floor, and it was easy.
And now we're like, oh boy.
I know, so like, nobody's gonna wait 3 hours to ride a ride with all of us.
Okay, well, you guys have a great week ahead and stay tuned for more info as we get it. There's lots of fun stuff coming, and I hope you stay along for the ride with us because we're really excited, and I think you will be too. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you guys have a beautiful and blessed week ahead, and we will see you real soon.
Take care, guys.
Bye.